Fred Rogers wasn't just a television personality. He was a quiet revolutionary who transformed how we understand childhood. Born in 1928 to a wealthy family in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, young Fred's early years were marked by illness and isolation. Severe asthma often confined him to his home, separating him from other children and forcing him to develop a rich inner world. What might have crushed another child's spirit instead nurtured his extraordinary creativity and empathy. Puppets became his companions, music his solace. Though privileged financially, Fred absorbed the humble values of his philanthropic parents, who were known throughout Latrobe for their community service. His mother, Nancy, organized assistance for families in need, while his father, Jim, quietly provided support to employees facing hardship. These early examples of compassion profoundly shaped Fred's worldview. Perhaps most influential was his relationship with his grandfather, Fred McFeely, whose name would later grace the beloved character Mr. McFeely, who gave young Fred something invaluable, the freedom to explore and learn on his own terms. This encouragement built the confidence that would later allow Fred to challenge an entire industry's approach to children's programming. After leaving Dartmouth College's party culture, Fred found his place at Rollins College in Florida, where he met Joanne Bird, a pianist whose cheerful nature complemented his thoughtful personality. Their friendship grew into a meaningful relationship built on shared humor and respect. His first encounter with television left him dismayed, seeing people throwing pies at each other's faces. But he recognized the medium's untapped educational potential. This led to his mission. I went into television because I hated it so. Despite his parents' concerns, Fred began at NBC during television's golden era. He later moved to Pittsburgh's public television station, WQED, where he developed The Children's Corner with Josie Carey. While creating this pioneering children's program, Fred also pursued theological studies, viewing television as his unique form of ministry to reach children. What made Fred Rogers truly revolutionary wasn't just his gentle demeanor, it was his profound understanding of child psychology, backed by rigorous study and expert collaboration. His decades-long partnership with child development specialist Dr. Margaret McFarland provided the scientific foundation for his intuitive approach. Their collaboration shaped every aspect of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, ensuring it was developmentally appropriate and psychologically sound. While other children's shows focused primarily on entertainment or academic concepts, Fred recognized that children's emotional and social development was equally crucial. He understood that children process difficult emotions like fear, anger, and sadness and need guidance in understanding these feelings. When Robert Kennedy was assassinated, Fred created an episode focused on helping children process the violence they might witness on television news. Rather than avoiding difficult topics, he provided children with tools to understand and cope with troubling events. Fred's approach to television broke conventional norms in striking ways. He embraced silence and slow pacing in an era when children's programming was increasingly frenetic. He understood that children need time to process information and that moments of quiet reflection can be as valuable as active engagement. Isn't it remarkable that in our hyperactive media landscape, this slowness was precisely what children needed most? In Pittsburgh, Fred built a small team to create Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, drawing from his experience and mentor Dr. McFarland's teachings. The show's signature elements emerged: a trolley connecting reality to the neighborhood of make-believe, puppets reflecting Fred's personality, and songs addressing children's emotions. Every aspect was carefully designed to create a nurturing environment. Fred's ethical stance, particularly his refusal to include children's advertising, set him apart in commercial television. When Burger King used an unauthorized Rogers impersonator in an ad, Fred contacted their executives directly, expressing concern about confusing children rather than making threats. The company quickly withdrew the campaign, demonstrating Fred's moral influence in the industry. Fred's puppets were extensions of himself, each embodying distinct aspects of human nature. Daniel Striped Tiger represented vulnerability. King Friday the 13th portrayed authority, and Lady Elaine Fairchild expressed rebellion and anger Fred rarely showed himself. These characters allowed children to explore complex emotions from multiple perspectives, creating a safe distance for processing difficult feelings. Their impact was profound. In one notable case, a nonverbal autistic child spoke for the first time to Daniel Striped Tiger. The neighborhood of make-believe served as a parallel universe where real-world concerns could be addressed through story and metaphor. Fred deliberately separated fantasy from reality using the trolley sequence, helping children distinguish between pretend and real while absorbing valuable emotional lessons. Fred Rogers was a pioneer in promoting diversity on television. During an era of segregation and limited minority representation, he purposefully created programming that welcomed all children. His relationship with Francois Clemens, television's first recurring African-American character in a children's series, exemplified this commitment. Their iconic scene sharing a footbath served as a powerful yet subtle statement against racial segregation at public pools. When Clemens initially hesitated to play a police officer due to negative childhood experiences, Fred convinced him he could portray a different model, one who served and protected the community. This challenged stereotypes and provided children with a positive image of African-American authority figures. Fred's inclusive vision extended to people with disabilities, diverse family structures, and various cultural backgrounds. By naturally introducing children to different people and experiences, he helped normalize diversity and cultivate empathy, values that remain relevant today. When Fred Rogers died on February 27, 2003, America's collective grief revealed his profound impact across generations. His approach to communication and education transformed our understanding of childhood development and media responsibility. Fred's revolutionary insight was recognizing emotional intelligence as vital as academic learning. While schools focused on cognitive growth, he knew that helping children process feelings like anger, fear, and sadness was essential to their development. His willingness to address difficult topics, from death and divorce to racial tension and disability, gave children tools to navigate life's complexities. Fred's impact on television was transformative. By proving children's programming could be both gentle and substantive, he elevated industry standards and showed that television should serve children rather than exploit them. His extraordinary influence came not through dramatic gestures, but through quiet, consistent commitment to his principles. His revolution was gentle yet profound, changing our understanding of childhood, media use, and human connection. In today's world of noise and division, Fred Rogers' legacy reminds us that genuine connection requires slowing down, listening deeply, and recognizing each person's inherent worth. He showed us that the space between hello and goodbye can be filled with the most meaningful kind of love.